no crying in baseball!
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years.
So fuck you, Joe. I do it myself.
In here, there were two guys killing each other. But I guess that's better than 20 million. So what I'm trying to say is that if I can change, and you can change, everybody can change.
Welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm so going to change that intro. It seems longer every time I listen to it now. It's a constant reminder that I've been moving and not had a chance to change it. Anyway, I'm Biggs.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Ben Affleck.
And I'm Brent.
Wait. We got Brent here. How's it going, Brent?
Good. How's it going?
Wow.
That's awesome.
Brent. Glad to be Brent.
Whoo, superstar Brent. In the house.
It's really awesome. Hey, do you remember when we were watching that Kevin Smith movie, Brent?
Oh, I still have freaking nightmares from Tusk. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have a great story about Tusk. So we rented it. A couple of my daughters like, I want to watch a really bad horror movie.
Oh, you should have just borrowed my Blu-ray, Holmes.
Well,
I got the autographed one. It's been Christian, son.
Hey.
Now it's in a box, so it'd be difficult.
Yeah. Anyways, so, and we started watching it, and we had to make sure the wife was not home, like, period.
Yeah.
And so we started watching it, and then wife got off work, so we put it on hold for the night, and then I came back the next day at lunch. And she's just, the credits for the Tusk are rolling. She's just like, what did I just watch? Why did I watch this?
And here's the worst part. That means she lost your place in the movie.
Yeah, his wife. So we heard before about how she doesn't take Tusk very well. I don't remember if I brought it up on the podcast, but a couple months after that movie came out, she was putting a thing on Facebook that was like, I dare you to post the 7th picture in your phone right now. And I like put up a picture at Tusk. Oh, she was mad. Like, put up the walrus. Oh, she was pissed. So what's up, Ben Affleck?
My trailer came out at Comic-Con for Batman versus Superman. Dawn of Justice, or wait, let me rephrase. Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
They need to drop in that S.
I know.
This is not a court battle. I'm pretty sure. I saw nobody pressing documents across the table.
But wouldn't
movie.
That be amazing if that was the movie? All the trailer leads us to believe this. It's this giant knockdown, drag-out action movie. And then it turns out it's just Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill in a courtroom for 2 hours.
Hey, I've seen Ben Affleck in a courtroom. I don't want to see that again.
Are you talking about Changing Lanes or a different one?
No, I was actually talking about the Daredevil movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Okay, so that trailer was... I was sitting there watching it with my wife, and what I really like is... So they sowed the seeds that I think everybody kind of foresaw, which was that Superman destroys Metropolis and then Batman's pissed off about
it. Batman's very sad about
it. But I love showing that scene where he's like holding that one girl and you can just imagine she lost her parents. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh shit, no wonder it's on. Like that.
The look he has in his eyes when they show a shot of Superman and Zod blasting through buildings with their heat vision, and the look in Ben Affleck's eyes, he's like so scared and angry at the same time.
It wasn't any building, it was Wayne Tower.
That's right, Wayne Tower.
Well, the thing though is when he's holding the girl though, he's like, jackpot, I found my new Robin. Like,
that's right. I forgot about that. It's Kevin Smith was talking about how there was a extra from the movie, and it was like one of those things that were probably like fined $10,000 or something for it, but they like dropped on a radio show that Robin's gonna be I don't remember Carrie something.
Carrie Kelly.
Yeah, the one from Dark Knight Returns. Mm-hmm.
And the rumor is Jenna Malone's playing her. There is the shot in the trailer of the old Robin costume with the Joker vandalized graffiti on it.
Yeah, that was
which
the
is
other
so
thing.
Great and chilling.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Oh, God. This is looking kind of good.
I really liked the Jesse Eisenberg, the red capes are coming line. that just slayed me. I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah, the one thing, though, too much hair.
Well, that's so clearly a wig. So the question is, are we supposed to know that's a wig?
But see,
as if he's covering up his baldness? Or
was he Michael Bolting?
Yeah, are we supposed to believe that's his real hair? And if it is, we know he shaved his head for the movie. So if it is his real hair, we know he loses it during the course of the movie.
Yeah, and that's the bummer part for me, is like, I feel like we did this with like Professor X or something before. Like, come on, dude, I'm done with this.
Why can't people just be bald? Like, why do they have to become bald?
Yeah. Well, there is a history in superhero stuff of that being part of the reason why Lex hates Superman, that it's his fault his hair went away. That's something that's been sort of delved into before, so it wouldn't surprise me if that's part of the story.
Okay, I just like, it's not part of the, with all the stuff they got packed into the story, I just feel like it's one thing. It's going to be one.
If they spend 5 minutes, that's 5 minutes way too much.
Yeah. Like watching him picking hairs out of the sink. I don't want to see this. I'm dealing with that in real life. I go to the movies to escape.
Exactly. Okay?
There's a reason why I always wear my hat.
Of course, I've already dealt with that, so.
Yeah. But it's not like it's going to stop, dude. It'll just keep going. It's like cancer.
It's a constant reminder.
Wonder Woman also appeared in the trailer, and she pretty much looked like Wonder Woman, so I guess that's good.
Yeah, my daughter was like, what's Wonder Woman doing in that? This is literally what she said. And I was like, it registered to her it was Wonder Woman before me because she plays Injustice a lot. So, and that's nice. That's the Wonder Woman from Injustice. Like, they have the
for
same
sure.
outfit. Yeah.
There's a lot we didn't see in the trailer, though. There's still so many characters packed into the movie.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you want to show them all in the character.
No, and no. They didn't give much plot either. Like, there's desert Batman in the trailer for no clear reason. We don't know why Batman is in desert mode. He even has like a vest at one point. It's a whole thing.
Man, you guys watch that so much more in depth than I did. That always happens with trailers. Like, I watch it twice and I'm like, get excited. But I don't really like get a
analyze
lot of these little
film.
Like, you said Robin's outfit. I was thinking it was Batman's. But when you said that, I knew you were right as soon as you said that. I was like,
it would have helped if that hadn't sucked all the color out so that Robin's outfit looked like black on black instead of...
Yeah.
Once you see
a Zack Snyder move right there.
Yeah.
Not just Zack Snyder. That is a DC Comics move now.
Uh-huh.
Like,
suck
once Green Lantern bombed, some suit was like, well, obviously the people don't want colorful suits anymore.
Hey, Deadpool even said that himself.
That's the problem.
That's right. Did you see the bootleg Daredevil trailer?
Yeah.
Or Deadpool trailer?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
that
I saw it too. No, I actually... I put up a little thing on the Not Safe for Network page. Like, it kind of looks like they got the spirit of it right from the trailer anyway.
The TJ Miller
and
jokes.
And it's
going to
be R-rated, it looks like.
I mean, they say fuck in the trailer like a billion times, so.
It's definitely a red band trailer, kind of.
Oh, yes.
For Comic-Con, I guess.
I also watched the bootlegged version of the Suicide Squad trailer.
Oh, yeah? How is it?
It looks pretty cool. The Joker's voice is really cool. I liked it a lot. It's scary without being over the top. It's very underplayed, which was a surprise.
Yeah, he did really well in that trailer.
I really like the voice. It's hard, because it was a bootlegged, it's hard to say too much about the visuals, just because, you know, you're watching the cell phone camera version of it from someone who had a weird angle with three people in front of them.
Yeah, which is how I saw the Deadpool trailer.
Yeah.
Exactly. But Harley Quinn looks really cool. Everything
Margot
looks
she looks very good.
Yeah.
Can I ask an honest question about Comic-Con really quick while we're talking about all these weird videos we're having to see of trailers? Do they honestly believe that people, like, it's going to hurt attendance if it leaks out on the internet that they show these trailers? Like, I'm going to go with, when you have movie stars showing up at your event, it's not going to hurt it one
bit.
No,
probably not. I think more than anything, it's so they can say that there's a special exclusive for people. I think it's more about being able to advertise it than anything.
And they can charge Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's the big one, is they want to sell $50 a ticket for that auditorium.
Ooh, they're like probably $150.
They bump it up every year is the thing. So they need to keep every excuse they can to keep bumping it up annually.
They can keep doing it. I'm telling you, if you put those trailers out on the internet, not going to hurt the business for Comic-Con.
Well,
the
they did lose Disney Marvel. Disney Marvel did not show up because they've outgrown Comic-Con. Neither did Sony, yeah. But, yeah, Sony.
Yeah. I think.
Well, the Sony's got Spider-Man they can play with, though, right?
Well, with
there's
Marvel
nothing to
now.
Show, though.
Yeah, like, nothing.
Yeah,
to show.
And everything that they really didn't have anything to bring as far as Fantastic Four coming.
Well, that's Fox.
That's Fox.
Fox.
Okay. You have to be fucking kidding me when they just casted the new Spider-Man. Like, Marvel makes a thing of like pulling the people out on stage. Doing a corny bit of acting all the time. Like, they could totally do that.
The theory for why Marvel really dropped out is they feel like they want to have their own day now. Like, they don't care about using Comic-Con as a boost. They want to just have a Marvel-specific event.
Which they did, like, last year. They had that big thing in Anaheim where they, announced the rest of the show.
And brought out Chadwick Boseman and the whole gang. So I suspect that's what we're going to see from them from now on. Plus, really, the only thing they'd have footage to show from are Civil War and Ant-Man, and I doubt the Civil War stuff's ready. And Ant-Man, there's nothing left they could show that wouldn't give it away before the movie comes out this weekend anyway.
Yeah.
So it sort of made sense timing-wise to not be there either.
I'm kind of bummed out because there's no way I can see Ant-Man.
Oh, that's too bad.
Like, this month, it's not possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will. I'll report on it. Don't worry. I'll have thoughts.
I'll be there.
I'll be there. All
right, great.
Yeah, I'm moving. So I'm moving two blocks away. I'm so happy. I'm literally... And we talked... I guess it was 2 weeks ago, right? We talked about, like, which direction you go on my street depends on whether you're still in the good part of the neighborhood or not. I'm going the positive two blocks.
Oh, good.
Away from the everyone knows your name. I love that bar, but, you know.
The surrounding areas.
By it. Yeah, I have before.
Of course, two nights ago we had an impromptu 7 out of 9 Suns meeting.
Mm-hmm. We totally did. We went to... went to Jester's, and Dub was playing, and Aaron Donaldson was playing. And then, in addition, well, let's see, that was the five of us. Kate was there supporting Aaron and Dub. And
the three of us were there.
Right. 4, 5, 6. That's 6. There's 8 of us. That's why I couldn't. Or, no, there's 9.
We were just missing
who was
the
other one.
We were missing Connor and Eric.
Oh, Matt was there. That's who I was trying to think of. Yeah, so there we go.
We did it.
Yeah, we got 7 of the 9.
And we didn't record anything.
Got 7 of 9.
I sorted it. I recorded Dub singing What's Up.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't get to see Dub's whole performance because I had to work at 6 in the morning, so I had to roll out. But I want to get back to Comic-Con for a second. So for me, the biggest deal, I know all those big superhero things that's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars is the biggest deal. For me, the biggest deal was Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yeah, that trailer is so good.
Not only is that trailer so good, but I watched the hour-long Comic-Con panel that they did because they put it up on Star's page. And that's great. That's everything you want out of a panel. Uh-huh. It's basically, like, there's 5 people there. You have... some dude who nobody knows, like Sam Raimi. And by the way, the dude who nobody knows only says like maybe 3 things out of the entire hour.
Which is what you want out of the dude nobody knows.
And you
knows.
Always have that at a panel. You always have that one guy who never talks because like nobody gives a shit what he has to say. Then you have like Sam Raimi and you have Ivan Raimi and Bruce Campbell and Lucy Lawless. Like
great
panel, but most of it consisted of Bruce Campbell like talking shit and like just really extending his own virtues.
Just reminding us why we all love him so much.
And Sam Raimi like cruelly knocking him down a peg over and over. It's exactly what you want out of a Raimi Campbell discussion. It was so awesome, man. I really enjoyed it.
That show's going to be so fun. I cannot wait.
The best part I saw out of that trailer was when they had the like quick montage where he's like lacing up all this leather and stuff, and it's just his girdle.
I enjoyed that they found a way to get the shot of him leaping into the chainsaw. That was a nice little moment.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm really looking forward to this movie.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It seems like they know exactly what they're trying to do.
The one thing that's a bummer, no S-Mart.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And I'm wondering if that's something with like whatever company they did it with Dino De Laurentiis' company, or if it's like they have a joke about how he got fired from S-Mart. That is possible.
Both are absolutely in play.
Because I kind of got and I could be mistaken on this, but I got the feeling watching it that like they're gonna definitely address what Ash has been up to the last 30 years.
Oh, for sure.
So it's like 20 years since Army of Darkness, but I think it's like what 25 years in the time or 35 years in the timeless.
Like, something
didn't
like that.
Evil Dead come out in like 1980?
Yeah, something like that.
And I think it took them 4 years to make, so holy Christ, dude.
Here's the question. Do you think in the past 20, 30 years, whatever it ends up being, that Ash has been going on adventures or just toiling away in retail?
It looks like from the trailer it was mostly just toiling away.
Yeah, that was the impression
Could
that I
got. Could it be toiling away with a few adventures sprinkled in? The only reason
I think
I ask,
that's what it is.
It would make sense just because it gives them back doors for stories.
Yeah.
I'd have to think there's at least something. Plus, it gives them a secret they can unveil over the course of a season.
Yeah, but it would have to be something they'd almost talk about, because Bruce Campbell really doesn't look
sure.
a lot like he used to look. You know,
he does. He just looks older. He looks like an older version.
I love that they played that up, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, instead of, like, just ignoring it or just saying, like, yeah, it's later, like, they make a joke of it, like the dentures that he's putting in. Like, he's not that old where he should have dentures. It's great, dude. I cannot wait for this.
It's going to be so much fun.
The only thing I wish is that Biggs on Film that we recorded for Army of Darkness. Sort of wish we hadn't mentioned that he's going to be working at S-Mart in the freaking thing.
Yeah, that would have been nice, huh?
Yeah, so just in advance, you know, just know that we didn't know.
Yep.
We didn't
know. We were working
know.
With limited information.
Yeah, maybe I'll tag something on the beginning. I don't want to lose my nerd cred. So is there any other Comic-Con news you guys were excited about?
Game of Thrones. Basically, George R.R. Martin confirmed Jon Snow is dead, which I thought was really interesting.
Well, so did President Obama.
Yeah, because the article I was reading, Obama went up to George R.R. Martin, is Jon Snow dead? And Obama knew before anybody else.
See, I still think that's a little bit sidestepping the question. Yeah. Yeah, he's dead now, but that doesn't mean he'll stay dead.
Exactly. Like, our possibilities that we came up with was he's dead and coming back.
Yeah.
King of the White Walkers.
I don't think so. That's possible. I think it's that warg thing. I do. I think he's in a warg right now. That's where I'm going.
Maybe they Frankenstein him up a little bit. There's all sorts of options.
We get undead Jon Snow.
Maybe he fights the Franken Mountain in Cersei's fight.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what makes it really sad, if that is what happens, if Jon Snow comes back, is that show is most famous for like killing off all the characters, and yet they can't fool anybody that like this
I
character
know.
Is dead. That is hilarious.
The
that
one they really
happen.
Truly want to fake people out with, and everyone's like, nope, not this one. I don't buy it with this one.
No, actually, the thing I encountered after the finale is everyone was like, Stannis isn't dead. They didn't show it. He's not dead. And I was like, what do you mean he's not dead? Like, Brienne carries Oathbreaker. He's the only one around. She, like, fills her oath to, like, avenge Gay King Renly. And just because they didn't show it, like, he's not dead. And everyone, I was, like, the only one I knew who believed that he was dead. And then they came out, like, yep, definitely dead. But too gratuitous to show, like.
Yeah, I feel like Stannis is dead.
Yeah.
I accept.
They built that one way too up for him not to be dead.
Plus, they made him too evil. You don't do a heel turn like that unless you're planning to do the hardest core redemption turn of all time, or you're planning to kill him off, and you want the audience on your side when you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's gone. And I who really likes Stannis to begin with?
I don't mean
as a character. I don't mean as a character. Oh. Like, were you seriously Team Stannis?
I was totally. He had the best claim to the throne after Gay King Renly was dead.
Dude, Khaleesi's got the best claim.
She does not have the.
She was the son of the Mad King.
Well, she's never been the son of any king.
I mean, the daughter of it.
No.
You don't know her whole backstory. There's all sorts of stuff they could fill
no.
in.
No. After Fat King Robert died, Renly had the best claim, And then when Gay King Renly died, the only one who's from the Baratheon family who even had a shot was Stannis.
Nobody gives a shit about the claim to the throne.
But it's the Game of Thrones. He has the best.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. Guess what happened? Homeboy died.
He was like playing that game of life, and he got caught in the loop, dude, and could never get to the finish line. And then some dude who was behind the entire time swooped in and just fucking won, which I guess is the kid right now, right? Yeah, it's the kid. The kid king?
Tommen.
Yes, Tommen. I don't even like
the
his
gentle
name.
King. I like poor sweet Tommen. He's so kindly. He's gonna get fucked up. He's far too sweet to make it out of this, okay?
Yeah, fuck that kid.
He's having way too much time.
He's like
the
a
church
total
is gonna
shield,
fuck
though.
Him up.
His wife's like still in prison at the end of this season. He's like, yeah, just get
and he
another
doesn't
wife.
Even try to do shit at all. He watches her get arrested and he doesn't say shit.
Well, he did go to the cathedral and they were like, well, this is religious business. You got to leave. And he's like, okay.
And he's like, that makes sense. I'm the king. I'm going to go home now.
Yeah, you don't. I just didn't see, like, he should be coming back with his fucking army
and say,
level that church.
Well, he's not Joffrey. He's Tommen, like the lame boy king. He's not vindictive asshole yet.
There's got to be a happy medium.
This is what me as king would do. I would raise that cathedral.
Me as king would never have let the sparrows in power in the first place. Yeah. Cersei would have tried that shit and I would have been like, no, that shit is not flying with me.
Maybe he's just so inbred that he isn't able to like have those emotions.
He just wants to play with his cats and have sex with Margaery.
And that would explain Joffrey. He's just too inbred to have real emotions.
He's too inbred for his own good.
Now, speaking of other HBO shows, Brent, I understand you watched and enjoyed Ballers.
I do watch Ballers. Well, okay, I watch Ballers. I enjoyed the premiere. The second and third episode, meh.
Okay.
All right. Like, the third episode where they're, like, partying on a boat the whole fucking time, yeah, saw it coming, but really lame. But it's about the Miami Dolphins. So. Oh, yeah, I knew the whole episode was just going to be, like, big orgy on a Coke orgy on a boat, but like,
yeah, I'm on board.
And then
all right, sorry, Coke orgy.
Is there
sure.
any Coke on Tripper's nipples?
Off of her ass and her nipples, yeah.
All right,
and like
HBO,
the guy who's
man.
Like the star player who's doing this, his like manager dude, who's his best friend, is like taking pictures. Like, yeah, we're partying. My friend who's pros sniffing coke off a stripper's ass. This
hey,
is awesome.
Instagram happens to people, man. Instagram happens.
And that was episode 3.
That was episode 3.
Was it really?
Yeah. A lot better than The Brink with
Jack Black and
Tim Robbins.
Yeah, that wasn't very good either.
No.
I actually made it through that one. I gave it the rewatch and I was like, meh.
I didn't really know where they were going.
Like, I don't either. I don't know what they're shooting for in the show. It's kind of aimless, it seems like. Like, they want to market it like it's this, like, edgy political thing, but then it's the
goofy
politics.
And the characters are unlikable and the politics don't feel right. Everything's just off.
Yeah.
That show.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Everything is just off. I don't know any other way to describe it. So, HBO, just hold on to Game of Thrones for dear life.
And Silicon Valley and Veep.
Yeah.
HBO's well, doing fine.
Their other show that premiered this week is this tennis
oh yeah the one with Andy
the seven
Samberg,
days
right?
in hell yeah
and Kit Harington
and Andy Samberg's like the bad boy of tennis who he was doing drugs like he there's one scene where he's on the sideline and he's just snorting coke out
he's
of, like,
Andre
his water
Agassi
bottle.
And John McEnroe
and it like the lines on the court are actually coke and he's like sniffing coke off of the court. But
so he's the bad boy of tennis, like Will Ferrell was the bad boy of ice skating. Is that
basically,
what
yeah.
Chad
well,
Michael
he
Michaels.
But he leaves tennis because he accidentally kills one of the ball boys. He like serves so hard, he just kills him instantly. So he like retires in shame. But Kit Harington comes up and he's like this child prodigy of tennis. Like his mother groomed him to specifically be like a Wimbledon champion. Never went to public school, never went to any school, complete moron. And then they bring him to England, and then he just says indubitably all the time because he thinks it's really intelligent. But they end up building them together, and they have this, like, epic 7 days of tennis. Like, it's match point for 6.5 days. And, ugh. I don't know where HBO was going or where their audience was, because lots of gay sex in that show. And lots of, like, Swedish prison rape.
Right, motherfucker.
That didn't sound very Swedish.
No.
Out of the opposite of Swedish. Wait, Swedish prison rape?
Swedish prison rape, yes. Animated Swedish prison
rape. Wait, animated? You really buried the lead there.
Wait, what show has animated Swedish prison rape?
Seven Days in Hell.
With the live action people. Yeah. Why is it animated?
Yeah, only a short period of time.
Is it like animated within the universe, or does it just become animated?
Well, they kind of explain what happened with the bad boy after he killed the tennis the ball boy. And then when he returns after his glorious prison rape, he is sponsored by Jordache to wear all denim while he's playing.
That sounds hilarious. I need to see this.
Now, does Andy Samberg in this, does he kind of look like Ben Stiller in the Royal Tenenbaums? Because that's what I'm picturing.
Just he's super like,
curly does he look like Ben Stiller in Dodgeball?
He looks like Kid Rock. It looks like
which incantation?
Ba what to ba Kid Rock?
Are we talking like Sheryl Crow Kid Rock? Yeah.
Probably.
We talking modern Ted Nugent Kid Rock?
Crow Kid Rock, because he's always wearing like a headband, so he has like 80s hair popping up, and he has like a mullet. Oh, and
so like Joe Dirt Kid Rock.
Yeah, Joe Dirt Kid Rock. Yeah.
We were just talking off mic about Brent was like, yeah, I heard they're making Joe Dirt 2. And I was like, yeah, I think that dropped on Crackle.
I don't think it's out yet. I don't think it's been released yet because a trailer just came out like 2 weeks ago.
It has not gone straight
but
to
it's
Crackle
definitely
yet.
Finished shooting.
And that's a bad sign. If you can't even go straight to video, you're just straight to Crackle.
Like, at least straight to Netflix has prestige to it.
It does. Like, people may not listen to it, but you at least have a chance on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But Crackle, who has Crackle?
Everyone. It's free.
Everybody, yeah. It's...
No. Okay, let me rephrase.
Who uses
I understand
Crackle?
Everyone has access to Crackle. What I'm saying is, who has Crackle?
I do. It's on the Roku just in case I can't find anything else. I'll go to Crackle. But I gotta be honest, I've only ever watched like a stand-up special on Crackle.
I think I've watched two, Brent, maybe three things on Crackle.
Are you gonna die, Brent?
Hopefully not tonight. It's not my night to go.
What do we say to the god of death?
Not today.
So what was the two things you watched on Crackle, Brandon? I gotta know.
They were really bad, and I couldn't even begin to bring that up.
Yeah, because Crackle's bullshit.
The only thing Crackle's good for is if you want to watch, like, mid-90s band DVDs.
I changed my mind. Crackle's not bullshit. I do want to do that.
Yeah, like, do you want to see a Slipknot, like, tour video DVD?
I mean,
then Crackle's your medium.
I was kind of hoping for, like, Gin Blossoms, but sure, I can roll a Slipknot.
Gin Blossoms. You are the one dude holding a candle for Gin Blossoms. Even the mother of the singer of the Gin Blossoms gave up on him.
Those are dark days with Hey Jealousy. I don't want to go
don't
back.
Don't you dare talk shit about Hey Jealousy.
Oh,
that song has
that song.
Mad hooks.
And what else?
Great melodies.
No,
also
I mean, what other songs?
I can't remember the names of them because they used to pop up on my burn CD as track one, track two, track three, Hey Jealousy, track five, track six, track seven.
And that's the reason why nobody listens to the Gin Blossoms. I had idiots.
Track three was great.
No, track three had some solid riffs.
I had Idiot Summer on the Wayne's World 2 soundtrack. That's the only reason I had the Gin Blossoms. Which, like, I just found out the Wayne's World 2 soundtrack, according to the director of Wayne's World 1, bombed. Is that true?
I can buy it.
I don't know. I own it. Still own it.
Like it was a commercial bomb?
I don't know. Like she was saying, so she was doing an interview on What the Fuck with Marc Maron, and they were talking about Wayne's World for a little bit, and then they were bringing up Mike Myers being difficult to work with, and she was kind of not wanting to get into it. She was like, it's not a big deal, but she was like, the problems I had with it, the reason why I didn't direct it, they kept it in, and it didn't do well. So I maybe it just didn't meet expectations. Maybe it was one of those things.
Could be.
Yeah, I just like, every now and then I hear something bombed, and I'm like, really?
You're like, that seems bombed? Impossible.
Yeah.
Of course, if you look at Hollywood's books, they'll tell you no movie since like 1932 has made money.
Oh, that's not true. They tell the investors they make money hand over fist.
Oh, for sure. But then they tell the IRS they haven't made a dime. To this day, they will tell you that none of the Harry Potter movies have made money yet. And not only have they not made money, that they are still losing money to this day.
Wow.
Yep. It is amazing how they will be so shameless with that. It's wonderful.
It's amazing that they get away with
it. It's so corrupt, it's preposterous. It's almost hilarious.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Scientology shit. Where they're just like, we're going to sue everybody in the IRS. Oh, never mind, you're tax exempt. There you go. By the way, my name is Brandon Beardsley. I assure you under the bus because you didn't see the documentary and you don't know how truly awful they can be.
It's weird that they're so influential in that documentary, but they have like less people in their church than like the city of Helena, you know, like
because they have a lot of money and a lot of lawyers on retainer and people are afraid of them. I mean, I think it just pretty much comes down to that.
Plus the people they have, they don't gain a lot of people, but they gain more people than they lose. Because once they have their hooks in you, it is really hard to get out.
You know what I thought was really interesting about that documentary was the dude who was running it, the guy who took over after...
Miscavige.
Yeah. He has, like, the worst little man syndrome ever. Because he's, like, five... He stands next to Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise looks like a fucking giant.
Oh, and you're that's like, not good. And you're Tom Cruise is 3'4".
So this guy's like a foot and a half tall. So, and I don't know how he can like lead this international church.
So, dude,
the crazy part is he took over when he was 25.
Yeah.
It's bananas. So he's just like, it is his life. His life will be running Scientology until he's dead. He will exert his iron will for at least like 5-6 decades.
When you say the phrase... It is bananas connected to Scientology. The fact that he is 25 is like the last thing.
I know, right?
I'm going to go with the entire dogma first.
Well, he was like bred to be the leader of the church.
And I guarantee you part of that breeding to be the leader of the church means he does not believe a word of it.
No.
He's like, this is the best gig ever. He's like, I didn't have to do anything. I just had to be friends with L. Ron Hubbard. It's the best job.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time with stuff like that. Like,
well, he's a maniac. Remember, from the perspective of a maniac, that is the best job.
I know he is. No. I'm not questioning that, but that he doesn't believe in it, I don't know. Like, he does seem like a nut bar on top of everything else.
When you got to be at the top, though, you got to know it's just a pyramid scheme. Yeah, you have to have
that perspective. I think he's a nut bar, just not that specific type of nut bar.
Yeah, it's hard to say, man.
I was thinking about the South Park episode where Stan's the new incarnation, and then they're like, just write the next book. And he's like, but I don't even know or believe it. It doesn't matter. It'll just make us money. Like, and they're all in it just to make more money.
Was that, they did another Scientology
episode? No, just the old one.
Oh, okay. I can't remember it all that well now.
I do believe if we asked Miscavige, he would swear up and down that he believes every word, though.
Oh, yeah.
Homeboy's committed to it.
Yeah, he's not going to be recorded saying he doesn't.
Unless he... But we could try. That's the movie right here. It's the four unlikely heroes who try to convince Miscavige to admit he doesn't believe in Scientology on the podcast.
And then we wind up missing one day.
It's a tragedy.
I'm sitting there talking about... I'd be the one who winds up in a room, like, getting cleared. I'd somehow, they're just going to brainwash me. My family will be far away.
They would just label me as a suppressive person. I would disappear.
Or, like, be cleaning shit with a toothbrush, your own toothbrush. Ugh.
What a wonderful world.
Yeah. I heard Tom Cruise is dropping out. Is that true?
I've heard some things
I've
about
heard that
too.
Because his daughter.
Yeah.
Because
they won't let him spend time with his daughter. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't that at some point when you're hearing this, don't you be like, you know, he's taken such a hit that like he might be willing to take
another hit. He's got Mission Impossible 3 coming out. He's doing
Mission Impossible 4.
4 or 5. Whoops, sorry. Oh, Jesus, he's a mover and shaker these days.
These days? He's been a mover and shaker for the last 35 years.
His movies haven't. Like, they've made bank, but they haven't made a lot of money.
A lot of them did. Yeah. The 80s? He was a mover and shaker.
No. In the 80s and the 90s, sure. I'm talking
And he's
like,
been coasting on
it. I Live, Die, Repeat made a fair amount of money.
It did not. It bombed.
Really?
Like, it's made money on video because they also changed the name of it.
The
like,
third time.
Isn't it like, wasn't it The Edge of Tomorrow?
It's been three different titles.
Yeah, and that's because it failed horribly in the theater. Like, so his movies, they bring in a lot of money, but they're so expensive to make. Like, they're just basically counting on making it up in video at this point, is what I've been understanding. Like, ever since he started his own production company with Dan Snyder from the Redskins.
For what it's worth,
really?
I remember Edge of Tomorrow doing below expectations, but it definitely wasn't a bomb. It doubled its budget. In the
Did
box
it really?
Office. Yeah.
Okay.
So it wasn't a bomb. It just was below expectations, which considering it made $200 million in profit is still pretty fucking good.
Did it really make that much? Boy, that might have been Hollywood cooking some books.
No, because they cook it the other way, remember? It doesn't benefit them any to say they made more than they did except for advertisers and investors.
All right. Anyway, what were you looking up on your phone there? Was it actually something...
Yeah, it was. I was trying to find something regarding sales on Wayne's World 2 soundtrack, and it was not going anywhere.
Oh, on the
anywhere.
Soundtrack?
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about the movie, not the soundtrack. That would have been way easier.
I imagine people are way less interested in the sales of the soundtrack.
You know what's sad? I only bought that soundtrack because it had YMCA on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of the thousand ways to get that song.
If we didn't have the internet.
Yeah, but you had jock jams. It was not hard to find.
You're too good for jock jams?
It was
on one of
the volumes.
I'm trying to remember if it was out yet, jock jams. I feel like that
might
have started, I feel
96.
Like that was on the heels of, like, now that's what I call music, which was like the late 90s. I think it was a couple years too shy for jock jams, but I could be completely off on that. I have not researched jock jams, nor will I, because I really don't care.
I'm surprised you weren't going with Dude Looks Like a Lady.
No, I already had that song. That's the thing. Like, so there was a lot of good songs on it, but a lot of them I already owned. Like,
but you're like, YMCA jackpot.
Yeah, Aerosmith Permanent Vacation was definitely in my CD collection before that movie came out. So I liked how they had Aerosmith in the movie, but then they were like basically trying to do the Alice Cooper thing in there. You know what I mean? Where like they're smarter than you would think. And it was
right.
Like, okay, we saw this joke already. This isn't a Saturday Night Live sketch, Mike Myers. You don't have to redo it. Like, there was funny stuff, but the funnier stuff to me was the stuff that didn't repeat from the first movie.
The Naked Indian?
Yes, the Naked Indian, like, where they're making fun of the Doors and Thelma and Louise and stuff like that.
The Roadie. The Roadie made that movie.
Yeah, the Roadie was sweet in that movie. Hanging upside down. Tells that Keith Richards does that. Perhaps that's why he can't get killed by conventional weaponry.
I had to beat them to death with their own shoes.
We finished Parks and Rec. We got all the way through. I thought that was going to get an excited yell from Zach.
I'm sorry. I got an email from work. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Yes, that is exciting, though. Yeah. How wonderful was it? How great is that finale?
Well, here's the thing. The finale is really great. I'd say the last two or three episodes were pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of that season, not so much.
Really?
Though.
I really enjoyed that season.
I thought the joke about it being 3 years in the future and being ridiculous was funny. But, like, I felt like they hung on the Ron Swanson and Leslie hating each other a little too long. Like, I don't know. Keep in mind, we watched this all in one block.
Right.
So it was like, by the time we got to season 7, the laughs weren't there as much for me, I guess. Oh.
Yeah, see, for me, it was the Leslie Ron stuff was spread out over 2 weeks, and it was 2 hours over 2 weeks. And so,
oh,
like,
dude, it was like 4 or 5 episodes. I think it was 5 episodes that they did.
They were, when they aired at the final season, they aired 2 a night. Mm. Yeah. So
I did not realize.
Yeah, so it was 4 in 2 weeks, an hour every week. So 2 hours in 2 weeks. And so that way, having 2 hours, it was the exact right amount of time for me to spend with it. And then I didn't have to think about it again for a week.
Yeah, I watched them, and like, we were watching them in blocks. So like, we'd watch 3 or 4 a night, and then we'd take a day off, mm-hmm. or maybe 2, and then we'd watch 3 or 4. And like, we pretty much did that all the way through, like, from second season on, because we'd already watched most of the first season.
I mean, it's only 6 episodes, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not too much.
And it's not really all that important. Really, no. Everything up until Mark leaves isn't that important.
And anything that is important, they will repeat a million times anyway.
They will make clear.
I really love that they showed like endings for characters that like weren't big characters too.
And that's one of the things I loved about the show, is it probably was second only to The Simpsons in sitcoms with like these weird, random, weirdo cast members who would pop up for an episode. They were really good about building up the world in that way. And so giving some of those weirdo characters endings was fun.
Yeah, it was. I really did enjoy like that you would see the douche like dropping from time to time, or
Pert Hapley.
Yeah, Pert Hapley, dude. He's like so pathetic. Like, I just don't.
The best part is how pathetic he is, and everyone worships him.
Yeah, Pert. I love everything is Pert.
Everything
in the title
is Pert
somewhere,
and that's the word with Pert.
And he struggles over his own name when he says it. It's just like, that's the one you should have locked down, dude. That's the one you should know. Brent clearly does not watch Parks and Rec.
No, it's one of those shows on Netflix. I'm like,
One day you'll be introduced to the magic of Brandy Max.
I don't really like Ron Swanson. So
Nick Offerman?
Or Nick Offerman, yeah.
That's
so
okay. There's other characters.
He's like a main character?
Yeah, sure.
Really is... Turned me off from starting watching it.
He's not the main character.
Not
like,
at all.
The main character is Amy Poehler. And I would say...
I don't like her either, though.
But I would say she's playing a character that's not like any other character she's done. Mm-mm. Like, honestly...
She's very sweet and earnest and exuberant.
Yeah, like if Hillary Clinton was a good person. Like, I would say that's who she is. Is that fair to say?
Ouch.
Well, I mean, she's a politician, so she's inherently corrupt. It's just anybody who steps into the political arena. But, I mean, like, if Hillary Clinton, maybe, like, if Hillary Clinton looked like Hillary Clinton, but, like, when she was, like, 20.
Had the personality of, like, a QVC cupcake baker.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is fun. And it's not just them. Like, everybody who's hot in comedy makes their way through that show. I mean, like, Chris Pratt, to me, was some of the biggest laughs in that show.
He's so funny.
And Nick Offerman does kill me, I will say. But, like... You can even, like, laugh at just what an idiot that he is, too, because he's, like, so... Like,
he does some dumb shit on his
Brent,
own.
Brent, if you don't like Tea Party people, like, you're gonna love Ron Swanson. He makes fun of everything that you don't like about somebody who's in the Tea Party. It's really funny. They never say he's in the Tea Party. But he's in the Tea Party.
This
you
is a man who buries his gold bricks because he believes that's the safest way to keep his currency.
Yeah,
see, and like... Whenever I encounter that show, usually through social media, it's that, like, people posting that shit is, like, truth or, like,
I mean,
not
people
jokes.
Posting any sitcom is truth should tell people you a little something about them.
People post The Onion is truth, so...
Oh, God, unfortunately.
Dude, Joe Biden's been on, like, 3 episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
And a bunch of Pacers.
Yeah. A lot of Pacers. Uh-huh.
And some Indianapolis Colts, actually.
Yeah, that's true. We saw Reggie Wayne. We saw Andrew Luck. Yeah,
a lot of big prominent guest stars. Michelle Obama shows up.
Twice.
Uh-huh.
Twice she shows up. Dude, there's a lot of... Because it's like the only comedy I can think of that's like totally political. Mm-hmm. But still really funny.
In a very
funny.
Soft and sweet way. Yeah. It's very much like a modern Cheers in that it's the kind of sitcom where you aren't laughing all the time at how awful these people are. You really genuinely grow to love them and want to spend time around with them.
Yeah.
And it does take a little bit, too. Like, well, just Chris like any Pratt, sitcom like that, it doesn't hit instantly.
Chris Pratt is a dick in the first season. Oh, yeah. He's just a straight-up dick, and then he becomes a man-child after that, basically. Like... They had this, I was telling,
he has my favorite joke in the entire series.
My favorite joke is still the one that sold my wife on it, which was he's sitting in a wading pool and he's got both of his legs broken because he falls in this pit in front of his house. And this, like, he's listening to his own song. Like, he's in a Dave Matthews cover band named Mouse Rat. And they, like... So he's sitting there listening to his own song over and over again on repeat because I think it's just like a single on the CD, so he has it on repeat, and the neighbor's getting pissed off, so he won't turn it off. So he finally runs over and like runs off with his radio. So Chris Pratt is like goes... hurls himself out of the wading pool with two broken legs and casts, and like... You find out he's naked, and they're just, like, blurring it as he's, like, hobbling down the street trying to chase after the guy. And he does so much physical comedy in that, too.
There's a joke he improvises in one of the episodes. Leslie thinks is really sick, and she asks him to look up symptoms on the internet. And Chris Pratt's typing away.
That's
and then
never a good thing.
He looks at her and deadpans, "Leslie, it sounds like you have network connectivity problems."
He's such a moron. Yeah, and do you like The League?
I do love The League.
Okay, so there's this... They have all these recurring characters that show up. I mean, I would say these characters show up in a 22-episode season at least 4 or 5 times every year.
It's 22 like. Episodes a season?
Something like that,
for
yeah.
a comedy? Wow.
They
I guess
go
it was
down.
Network,
it was
though.
NBC, yeah. Except for the last season was like 13.
Yeah, and the first season's only 6.
Yeah.
And really, there's good stuff in it, but it's totally missable.
Yeah,
you
Rob
could skip
Lowe,
it and be just fine.
Rob Lowe was like... was a cast member for like 5 seasons. He was literally great in that, show.
He's like the Whole Foods exercise nut. He's really fun.
Yeah, but God damn it, I forgot my point now. Oh, so they have all these characters who will be in like just spotted in all the time. And like Nick Kroll plays this guy named The Douche because they have this radio show called Ira and the
Douche.
Yeah,
Crazy Ira and the Douche.
Yeah, and it's just like he's basically like a low rent Howard Stern and the lowest rent Howard Stern.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like if you put somebody in the whack pack of Howard Stern and gave him his own show, that's basically what Nick Kroll is. He's on it a lot. Like, they have a lot of people that they just cycle in, which is what makes it fun, too. It is like The Simpsons. You're right on that.
Yeah.
Like,
that varied supporting cast. That they have that deep bench they can pull from for basically any type of story or joke.
Yeah. Yeah. And just a lot of comedians cycle through there, too, which is great. But we probably talked entirely too much about Parks and Rec.
Feel good about it, though.
So I have to ask, Zach, have you finally finished Community?
Not yet. I have it all.
See, that's another show I've never watched either.
That one's worth it. Very much worth it.
It's like one of those things on Netflix where like you go through and like you see it and you kind of look at the intro screen.
It's not on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Hulu, though.
Oh. And you're just like, I don't know if I want to jump in. And then you like do
it's
and you're like,
really
oh, why
quick,
didn't I?
Community is a really
you burn
quick play.
Through it fast.
Yeah. Because the first season's a really short season. The other, five.
Season 2 and 3 are both full, like, 24 episode seasons. And then it starts going back down from there.
Yeah. And the last one's only 13 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Yahoo.
The Yahoo.
Yahoo screen.
Do you think that'll ever, like, get thrown onto wherever Community is? Anywhere, like in any other platform?
It's hard to say. I don't really know how the rights work on it and who has the ability to sell it where.
I just have this feeling that Yahoo's just going to clutch onto it.
Yeah, but it depends. If NBC has the ability to sell it somewhere else, then theoretically they could. We don't know who has it.
I think NBC does have the overall rights to it.
They still own the show. I just don't know whether they can distribute it to another streaming party, whether that'd be forbidden in the contract. There's all these questions. I wish they would just let me read their sensitive documents.
Anonymous, get on it.
Though, I mean, North Korea tried to. They got us all a Sony's, but then they got caught too quick.
Yeah, North Korea. I don't believe that.
Me either, but I like blaming them for it, so I'm fine with it.
Oh, me too. Well, have we exhausted everything here?
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. All right, well, let's kill this. Take it easy.
Look at these guys respecting the outro.
I almost berated you.
I tried to respect it, I just couldn't do it.
Not safe for network.
So when you get the actual script in your hands, how is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's like, you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr., but
for Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So RDJ. We won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. The internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry, and a lot of that insane, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, or the moon landing never happened, or whatever. But, you know, if we could look at the flip side of that, too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community on the podcast so publicly as we do,
yeah,
does that set us up as a target in the future, potentially?
It's as much of a threat as a dirty 400-pound topless woman like running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over here.
Family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again, I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh god, where am I? Oh guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys.
I'm gonna have some of this cake.
Hey,
if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you gonna wear that hat?
I'm just gonna take some of this cake.
Montauk Skies.
By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, just chewing the pain.
Can
pills.
I just say, I
washes
appreciate...
them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not safe for network.